Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
Zane, oh goodness gracious. Oh, we just we went through so much in the last 4 months.
Oh, my neck.
I'm so glad the first thing we did after these 4 months of not having any time at all to do anything, we decided to come directly here and give the fans exactly what they want.
I don't think people understand. It's been chaos of just pulling at arms, teeth gritting, bloodshed, just tears everywhere. All a mess.
Oh, this has been an insane 4 months.
And the second, and I mean, just so people know, the second we had even the slightest chance to escape the grasp of, oh, it's so hard to even get into what exactly was happening.
I can't say his name again.
No, never.
His or her name.
Never again. If I bring up his or her name, it's all going to come back and we're going to be gone for another 4 months. I can't have this happen. Since that moment,
it couldn't be prevented, us not being here the last 4 months. That's the crazy part, is that every day or hour or so, I'd be, Zane, why can't we just go home to record the podcast?
And
Zane, you would always say, go ahead.
I would turn to you as we were chained together against the fence, and I would say, now is not the time. You better peel that carrot, or she's gonna give us the slaps once more.
Zane, I lost 73 pounds in these 4 months.
I gained those 73 pounds. How do you think I feel?
I know, that's the weirdest part.
She messed with matter of time. The whole thing about how mass can never be fully destroyed. It has to go somewhere. She did that to us.
He did so many things. I know this is, you probably already know this, but my name is Will Palumbo.
And my name is Zane Shaw.
And this is Save Your Bacon Advice Comedy Podcast, where we think we're helping. Zane, I feel like we should do the listeners a service and just go over some of the highlights of what this last 4 months have really been like.
Absolutely.
Do you want to start? Want me to start?
I would love to hear what you have to start with.
So the first thing that happened to me was I did, it, like in between the chainings and the masks and whatnot, I did decide to become the world's first leading cloak mogul.
Yes.
So I've been creating cloaks from the silk of my own anus. So just going forward, I'm now wealthy.
That's why we started calling him the Silker, because he learned the techniques of Charlotte's Web and turned it into an amazing Etsy business.
Which is really cool. How about you, Zane? What's been happening with you?
Oh boy, I wish I was a little bit more, I sure wish I'd heard one of these beforehand.
Just say what's been happening.
All right, very cool. Actually, that's the thing I'm going to talk about. On the way to Michigan, I don't know if I told you this, at one point, I was in a car on the way to Michigan, half hour into this 5 hour car ride. Eyelash in my eye. I rub it. It doesn't go away. I rub it for about 5 more hours. It's not going away. At this point, I've realized my eye is ruined. My eye is burning up, baby. I am told that I scratched it. I didn't know this could happen this way from me sitting in a car doing nothing. Not great, but also not completely out of the realm of things that just happened to this lad. I think literally every part of my body now has gone through something like this. It was only a matter of time before one of the eyes, the other eye, because I had an eye injury in December on the other eye.
My arms, my bones are made of glass.
Exactly.
My skin is made of paper.
And my eyes, dang, they hate eyelashes. They do not like them. They'll do anything to stay away. I had to, instead of going to a Detroit Tigers baseball game, I was throwing up on a couch because of the eye medication made me a sick boy.
When your eye makes you puke.
So that happened. It's not as cool as shitting silk and making cloaks, but that did happen.
That did definitely, both of them did happen is the crazy part. So something that also happened to me in these last 4 months is I was poisoned. I went to the doctor. He told me I was completely fine. Turns out the doctor was the one who poisoned me. I was not fine. And I fought off the poison by going vegan for a week. And now I'm immune to white snake root.
Holy shit, bud.
Did I not tell you this story?
Holy shit.
Got that guy locked up big time now.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
And white snake root. I mean, that comes up like
yeah,
in...
just I can just cross that one off the list.
That's like a breakfast, lunch, and dinner type of thing. So it's very good that like you can...
It's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner kind of poison.
Yeah, but like also something that you said you're immune to, right? So,
well, now.
Yeah, now. Yeah, you know,
now
that's
I
what
like
I'm saying.
Sprinkle it on my eggs.
It's nice.
I want to like intimidate coworkers.
It's nice. It's nice that... the best way
it's
to...
It's nice when I make eggs at work, and I'm like, you want eggs? And they're like, sure, I'll take a couple eggs. And I'm like, white snake root? And they're like... what? And I'm like, okay, more for me.
Hey, did you eat
it's
my sandwich in the break room as they are viscerally throwing up into a trash can? Ah, yes, the white snake root. I see someone's not immune. And they're saying, please, please call the ambulance. And I say, you see, we could have avoided this whole thing if you just let me have my sandwich.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is why you don't take food. Now you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Just going forward.
Now
you'll do better. What about you, Zane?
I auditioned for America's Next Top Model.
Okay.
And it went well.
Yeah? Tell me about that.
It went very well. They decided, because the thing is, I didn't, when I auditioned, I was like, This isn't gonna happen. This is just me doing this because the opportunity's there. And they said, actually, we think you might be the one. And so they brought me in, and they said, so what we need you to do now is when we're teaching the models how to stand and pose, we need you to show them how to do it. And so I spent a week. Just showing models on America's Next Top Model how to pose for that freaking camera.
Good. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it was.
I expect nothing less.
It was riveting.
I figured while you were just kind of radio silence there for a little while, I thought you might have just, you know, I made a crass joke that you didn't approve of.
No, yeah, I know. It was. I became a boss ass bitch for a week, so you know, phone off, clone off, drone off, you know.
Yeah, I created a new holiday.
Oh yeah, I think I heard about this in the news.
Marketing is still, you know, it's
right.
Getting there, but it's Fall Day.
Mm-hmm.
So Fall Day is made because there's not. See, I live in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Zane, you live in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
And so I think the problem that many of us Northerners face is that by the time it gets to Halloween, it's too gosh darn cold in order to enjoy it. I can't wear my scantily clad cat outfits when it's, you know, negative 13 outside. And, you know, I have to put my, you know, my goose down coat overneath. You know, over top of my outfit. That just doesn't like jibe. I don't know, what am I saying? Jive the same way. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Here's the thing. Fall Day. Fall Day is something that you have to be looking at your weather app for a lot, because you have to find a couple days in advance what's going to be the most perfect fall day, when the most leaves are yellows and oranges and reds and still falling from the trees, when it's the perfect temperature, you know, it's like 64 outside, so you have to wear a jacket and pants, but it's not like cold, and it's like a nice partly cloudy day, but you get to do just everything fall oriented all within a 24-hour period. You go, you know, you go pick pumpkins, you get apple cider, you get you know, those weird donuts that they're like, ah, it's fall, and you go stargazing, and you go with your corn maze and stuff. It's a one-day thing.
Uh-huh.
And you get it all out at once, because Halloween doesn't do that.
No Halloween doesn't get it. Halloween thinks it gets it, but thanks to what you've invented, Halloween is going to, much like when I went through my eye situation, it's really going to open its eyes to a new light. It's really going to start seeing things literally differently for at least a week.
Except mine will make you look a little bit better. Yours will make you look a little bit worse. Zane, did anything else happen to you?
Yes. I thought about the things that I could talk about, you know, because I was like, oh, I could mention like, oh, I have a girlfriend. Oh, I'm working on this movie. Oh, I'm doing this stuff. I'm performing these gigs. But that's not entertaining to anybody. So I thought I would bring up, I went out with a team of five, very professionally trained. I was the only odd man out. I was the only one that was not trained for this. But they saw me, they saw my photography work on America's Next Top Model, and they said, we're going to go on a journey. And I said, that sounds exciting.
The Next Top Model. I see.
No. This is just how I met with them. They said, we're going on a journey. I said, oh, that's fun. And he said, I was expecting maybe like, and if you're interested, you can join or something. No, he said, join us. And when he said, join us, I said, I will. It was almost like something just, it just came over me of like, this is
kind of cool.
This is, yes. I felt it was like, it was cultish. It was trendy. It was quirky. It was everything in one. I followed along. We took this very, very like two person sized, kayak, which with like, it was five other people and me.
There was five people and me.
So there's six of us. So it was three people in the front seat, three people in the back seat. One kayak paddle, which really we could have thought that out better, and a lot of scuba gear.
But that's team building.
Exactly. That's team building. A lot of scuba gear too. And what we did is we went out to the area the Titanic sank, and we actually brought the Titanic back up. And
you're kidding.
And the I don't know why
you dug the thing right up.
So like. Maybe news outlets are scared to mention it because they're like, but what if it goes back down? No. Trust me. After we dug around it, we brushed, polished it, we gave it a once over, we gave it an oil change, checked the tire pressure and everything, and that thing is floating better than ever, and dare I say, better than any other boat ever. The Titanic is no longer a story of tragedy, and I do say that with a grain of salt.
Those people would surely be dead by now, anyways. Whether or not, like, after a certain point, it stops being sad. Is the claim we're trying to make? That's our stance.
Nobody has ever
said
like save
your bacon promise.
It's like, well, the Titanic's back up. Guess it doesn't matter that it sank. Well, it kind of does, but it is back up, and that is more important now because it's because now
that just overshadows any idea of sadness.
Exactly. But when you're just filled with this joy of knowing that boat, nobody's going to be on that forever. That boat does not want people on it. We made a promise with that boat. When we picked up that boat, and that boat said, I just want to be a free boat. And we said, you know what? After all this time, we totally get it. We totally respect it.
A wild boat.
Yeah. We set the boat free. It just went off its merry way towards the sun, which I think is
the best part of this story.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, boats in captivity don't get to live the kind of lives that free boats get. And it's cool to see one of its size, of its rarity, of its, you know, resuscitated back to life sort of necromancy state be able to just roam free again.
Like, think about all the boats that have gotten screwed over, like the Titanic and that's a good one. And the Jaws boat. The Jaws boat, because people were on it, had to face the wrath of Jaws. Yeah. Then there's
that one had a I like what's the name of Jaws boat again? Jawsy, I think.
Jawsy. There's no Shark Proof was the name. There was the boat for Life of Pi that the tiger had to jump off of to get onto the other boat. There was the boat that in that one Mark Wahlberg movie. There's the other boats.
In the Neverending Story, there was a horse that sank. I think that's kind of similar.
I forgot about that. The horse. That
anyway,
sank.
Zane, I love that story. That's a good one. I do want to make sure we are doing the thing we say we kind of do sometimes.
Holy cow.
And I will have us answer some questions which have been sent in to us. This is kind of our, you know, normal get them up and go sort of procedure. Do you want me to start? Do you want to start?
I really want to start.
I say you start.
After this, there is no better way to say that I am backed up and ready to release my ideas onto our very consenting audience. So
backed up and prepared to pinch off a fresh question.
Oh God. As you can tell, he or she has done quite a number on our mental state, and it's going to take a long time for recovery. That being said,
we change.
That being said, well, this question comes from, in what state is we're fucking back, baby.
Just do it. We're never gonna do advice, same.
You gotta give me a second. In what state is it illegal for mourners at a wake to eat more than 3 sandwiches? Your options okay. are Kansas, Louisiana, or Maryland.
This one's Kansas, I can tell.
It's illegal for mourners to eat more than 3 sandwiches at a wake. Kansas, Louisiana, or Maryland?
Yeah, I'm going to go Kansas on this one. It sounds correct.
He sticks with Kansas.
I can't tell you why.
All right.
I'm going to guess. Wait, audience member, what's your guess?
Audience?
Zane, we're still going with Kansas. Give me Kansas.
All right. The votes are in. The votes are in from the audience. He takes Kansas. Final answer. That is incorrect. It is Louisiana.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about this. Do you have any sort of context?
I absolutely don't. I didn't plan that far ahead as to talk about it more. I didn't know you'd want to. I thought you'd be mad that I was doing it.
No, you're right. Sometimes I just wonder. After these 4 months, I'm like, now I need the story. Now I need the meat.
Well, you can't have meat on a sandwich more than 3 times. That's not a thing. I did find it, by the way, very quickly. If you want to eat more than 3 sandwiches at a wake and the host tells you no, you can thank the person who ruined it for everyone else by eating more than their share back when the law was enacted. That's not what I was hoping that was going to say. That kind of let me down.
Interesting.
All right, but that's what it says. All right. Very good. All right. Now I'm going to give you a real question. Mm-hmm. And that real question comes from, in what state?
Come on. We are 17 minutes in.
Hold on. Cut the fucking music, Zane. All right. Thank you.
17 minutes.
The first, Zane. Can I just say? No, the point behind this
I waited 5 months to answer these questions.
The whole.
Four months. How long has it been?
Fuck off. The whole thing that I just saw.
What year is it?
The first thing that I saw, because I have a huge ass list in front of me, the very next one that I saw says, at a wake, mourners may eat no more than 3 sandwiches. What the fuck, Massachusetts? Louisiana already has that law. What is going on? Why is that illegal in 2 states? What happened?
Currently checking every state.
Who
for
is
this law.
Who is the man that ate 500 sandwiches at a wake in Louisiana, and someone said, sir, you're done. This can't happen ever again. And he said, I'm just going to move, and did it at another wake in another state. How? Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like getting kicked out of one bar and then you just show up next door, right?
Except that bar is condemned because you left. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the
you
difference.
Put that bar out of business.
And you just went into another one to just do the same thing.
We don't
thing.
Want your dead people anymore, you sick freak. Stop eating our sandwiches.
I'll give you a real question now. A for real question. Okay, this comes from Lime Shi, and the question is, how hard can a rabbit kick? I was having this debate in D&D, and after an hour of trying to figure it out, I have gotten nowhere. And for reference, I'd like to use the Eastern Cottontail, if that matters or helps at all.
I just want to take a look at this guy.
How hard can a rabbit kick? Now, the thing that I would get strung up on in this question is it talking about, like, when it kicks off the ground to jump, or, like, when it kicks, like, how a kangaroo could, like, kick a person and severely injure them?
Well, I've never seen a rabbit do that, Zane.
What if the Eastern Cottontail is, like, a god among men? In the category of kicks.
I looked up the Eastern Cottontail. Every rabbit you've ever seen is a Eastern cottontail. If it's outside, it is an Eastern cottontail. Let's just say that. If it is brown, it has sort of white speckles. It is the most like, it's like, what kind of dog is this? It's a dog, sort of rabbit, right? It does not have a breed. It is rabbit. This is when you think rabbit, this is rabbit. This is not household rabbit. This is outdoor rabbit. It's a good rabbit. Don't get me wrong. He looks capable. Yeah. So
capable is a good word to describe rabbit Kick. Capable. He's got it within him.
Now, I'm not going to try to sit here and quantify D&D damage. That's not what you're here for, listener. Surely. But I do want to try to put this on a scale of things that we know how it feels.
Ooh.
Do I think it is as much of a kick as... I'm trying to think. Like, what's a good... what hits you and hits you good? We need to make a
kick,
scale.
Like a,
we need
how make about a small like kicks? Scale. Like if you took a kickball to the face.
If you took a kickball to the face,
I personally
we'll
would
call
put,
that.
I would put a rabbit
pretty,
above
we'll
that.
We'll call it higher.
I would still keep a rabbit kick above kickball to the face.
You're kidding?
No, I personally, I genuinely think that there is something about maybe it's the bones of the bunny. Maybe it's
the bones,
the air within the kickball. I feel like I could get through taking a kickball to the face and not necessarily feel that much pain from it.
Okay. So, okay, I'm going to do a lateral for you.
Okay.
I want POV. You are the Eastern Cottontail.
All right.
You need to kill this man. How do you do it? Is your first instinct kick? Is it bite?
All right, so now I need to see what kind of rabbit is...
You need to hurt this man. You need to hurt him good. You got one shot at it.
What kind of rabbit is in Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
No, that's different. That's magic.
What if we're talking. I don't know the whole structure behind how they filmed Monty Python. What if they got an Eastern Cottontail and that was unscripted?
It isn't. I'm pretty sure it's a white rabbit Python.
I think you're right, but I had never done my research and I just needed to double check for my own verification. So I need to kill this man. I'm an Eastern Cottontail. Look at my legs. And running off of a fact that I looked up, by the way, a rabbit's strong legs can be so strong that they can kick at as quickly as 50 miles an hour in short bursts.
Okay.
And rabbits can leap almost 4 feet into the air, nearly 10 feet forward in a single bound. So they're getting
4 feet in the air. Now I haven't seen that one. Well, I'll tell you what,
you know, when
that's
I,
a new one
when
for
I
me.
See them hop, it's usually about 4 inches off the ground towards just
right.
forward. But apparently they have the ability to go as high as 4 feet, as far as 10 feet, and kick as fast as 50 miles. And so, imagine this.
50 miles an hour. Okay, so that is less than a punch. That is less than a really good punch.
For real?
So it's less than getting punched. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if people can throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, you get real, real good.
It's not. You're going to get proved wrong. Professional British boxer Ricky Hatton clocked a maximum punch speed of 32 miles per hour. On average, a punch is only 25 miles per hour.
So it's twice the speed.
Twice the speed of a punch.
Okay, but it's mass we have to also calculate. You got a lot less mass behind that foot is the only problem.
That's, you know what? That's fair.
How heavy rabbit leg?
You know when people carry rabbit foot, how heavy that is? Eastern cottontail, 2.5 pounds. Very light.
Total. Okay, so let's say...
Total.
Let's say a leg... Let's say the full leg is 10%. That's pretty fair, right?
Yeah.
So 10% of the... So we're talking... We're talking a quarter of a pound. That's 4 ounces. 4 ounces, but it's double the speed.
Uh-huh. And now, see, I think there's an advantage to it. Doesn't matter necessarily how.
There's claws, Zane. There's claws too.
Oh God, are there claws?
We didn't consider the claws.
So there will be scrape damage at 50 miles an hour. Honestly, if I saw anything,
that's a good scrape.
I'm an Eastern Cottontail and I'm 10 feet away from you, I can leap to like your chest height and at you at like as fast as a pretty fast car. I think your brain will clock that there is something that is about to physically damage you, whether or not you expect it. And whether or not it is a lightweight rabbit. I think a leaf hitting you at 50 miles an hour is going to make you say, ah. Like, I think anything at 50 right. miles an hour is okay. where you start to say, like, oof.
I just figured out something very interesting. So I've been doing a little bit of research on mantis shrimp recently because they're in the fame right now.
They have like the hardest punch in the world.
50 miles an hour.
Holy heck. And
it's the same thing.
And they're known for like having the hardest punch, right? That's like their thing.
I think. Yeah. No, no. Yeah. They can like crack a crab with one punch.
So could a rabbit with its feet?
I think they're just not that spiteful, I guess.
Rabbits are just kind and nervous. Like,
they're
just
really cool.
You see a rabbit. Now, you know what's awful? Because an Eastern Cottontail is the rabbit you see everywhere. I often just thought, like, you know, you come across a rabbit and it'll like stop and hop away. Or at worst case scenario, it stops and just watches you pass by. And you think like, aw, poor little rabbit's just like nervous about like me being around. I am now realizing that if I'm at least 10 feet away, that rabbit is thinking, if that thing tries any funny business, I am taking it out. Like, that rabbit has a whole plan in mind, and I didn't even realize it.
I want to explore the narrative of, like, the one spiteful rabbit that uses its kicks for evil.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, we can say this. However much damage your regular punches from a human do, double it.
Yep. Yep.
And that is what a rabbit's kick should definitely be.
Yep. If you have a fight club,
I think
invite a rabbit.
I'm willing to double down on that. Absolutely.
I will.
Absolutely.
I will add one last thing, because they said they're using an Eastern Cottontail for reference, but they wanted to just know how hard rabbit kick. I did look up heaviest rabbit. I did find a rabbit named Darius the Rabbit, who measures in at 4'4" in length.
No way.
And tips the scale at 49 pounds.
Good Lord
so
Almighty.
Now, if you want to say...
The kick on that guy has got to be insane.
If you want to tip the scale of...
The longest rabbit. 52 inches.
Jesus. And so now we've gone from like kickball to the face, ow. Eastern Cottontail, that's going to be pretty
stolen.
Rough. This... What?
He was stolen from his home.
What is
it
happening?
It says, the first thing people also ask, is Darius still missing? World record giant rabbit stolen from its home in the UK. Of course it's in the UK.
Is Darius still missing?
Disappeared from his enclosure in the backyard in the village of Stolton over the weekend.
In April.
How long ago was this?
In
Rabbits
April.
Don't live that
this is,
long.
This is April 10th.
2020.
Oh, man, that was a while ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Well, if you find
I'm glad we could help. So, okay, dire rabbits, those things are got to be, like, big, bad
this
ones,
rabbit's
right?
Nuts.
If you run into a dire rabbit in D&D. Anyways.
How do you steal a 4'4" rabbit?
We got to move on.
How do you steal
I'm
going to
ask you a question,
Zane. Hold on. Just for the sake of if you know where Darius the rabbit is, we now know
that. How do you steal it? It's probably a very chill rabbit.
If you need an army to back you to get Darius back, you do know that an army of rabbits can do dang near enough damage to take out the perpetrator.
Clearly, Darius is not spiteful enough to kill his kidnapper.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Hello, Will and Zane. I need help with a bet. I figured since you guys have lived long, happy lives, you would be able to be our control subjects. The question is, how many flea circuses have you seen, and why is the number zero? From Celine in Chicago. Thank you, Celine.
Wow. I will tell you this much.
This is the sand trap. What is it called? The quicksand. This is the quicksand thing. We always thought flea carnivals were going to be a big thing, the same way we thought quicksand was going to be like a huge issue.
Yep.
I think this is the exact same scenario, isn't it?
I absolutely agree. I will tell you exactly why I have seen zero. When I was younger, I remember that my mom had told me that she took our dog in to get rid of fleas. And I said, why'd you get rid of the fleas? Why didn't we put them into a circus? And she said, don't be ridiculous. If the fleas got out in the house, life would be the worst thing in existence for about a month.
You know a lot about it now, is you keep them in the circus.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people like to run away from the circus, Will. And if it happens to be a flea that wants to run away.
You run away to go to the circus. You don't run away from the circus.
No, whenever I'm at the circus, I run away.
You don't like the circus, huh?
No, it's not that. It's that I'm so excited that the circus exists that I'm full of sprinting energy. But if I was a flea, if I got out of the circus, because keep in mind, flea circus, kind of small. Well, I guess it's not too small to flea, but still.
It's like for people who aren't allowed to have fish.
Imagine. That, like, so why haven't I seen a flea circus? I tried to make one exist when I was younger because I thought that that was like a thing that could exist. And then I was told that if the flea circus decided to expand and take over the living room, we would have to not live at that house anymore. So, like, it seemed like...
Oh, big, big flea circus now.
The pros of flea circus, 24/7 entertainment, nonstop comedy, nonstop tropes, goofs, gags, guffaws. It's just, like, prime... Right. It's like ordering a filet mignon. You're just like, this is the cleanest cut. Cons of flea circus.
It's like Maury, but cool. It's,
cons of flea circus is like the nematodes episode of SpongeBob. And exactly that. Like, that's
so relatable.
That is why I have not seen flea circuses.
Yeah. See, it is less for me of like, why haven't I started a flea circus in my own home? And more of like, why haven't I stumbled across one ever in all of my walkings on this earth? You know?
Yeah. I mean,
if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the States. It's one of those things. Why have I not drove through some, you know, ho-dunk town in the middle of nowhere and seen a sign that says, check out our flea circus while you stop by?
I do,
you know?
Do people make like a bit of it, but it's also kind of a catch-22? Like, do they make tiny, like, flea-sized signs to check out the flea circus and people just don't, like...
That's it. I miss them.
We don't get, close enough to the grass at, upcoming intersections.
I know, I'm not that observant.
I've been told that flea circuses are also mainly in England and Germany, apparently. So...
Did you look this up?
I just now. So
they do actually exist in those places?
It says they were hugely popular up to, the 1960s in England and Germany.
Hugely popular.
It does say they were hugely popular.
No, I know. I would just question what
they were a combination of flamboyant showmanship, staggering chutzpah, and genuine craftsmanship.
Genuine craftsmanship.
You know what? Actually, did the flea circuses stop because of the plague?
Zane, when do you think the plague happened?
Probably right around the same time that we stopped seeing flea circuses.
1960s, you think?
No,
when the Black Plague happened.
It does say that they were hugely popular also around the 1830s. I think that they just...
Now, you said 1960s.
Up until the 1960s. The plague still exists,
Will. Up until the 1960s. But don't worry, the Black Plague wiped them out in 1346.
Hey. People didn't stop eating hot dogs after Food Inc. came out. Just because a beautiful, huge light of evidence of something came out does not stop flea circuses from existing. Some people are going to fight the pain.
Yeah, no, in the same way that the Black Plague really just made the slow stamp of death on flea circuses because, you know, the Black Plague traveled through fleas and not through rats, is the same thing of Food Inc. putting the stamp of death on hot dogs. And now, just you mark my words, 500 years from now, they'll be gone.
Didn't the rats get the plague from fleas, though?
This is a good question that I don't think it, I mean, now we have to, answer it now.
Okay. I thought you were going to say now we have to move on.
I mean, we have to No. Did fleas cause the, is mainly infected fleas.
Huh.
You're right.
Huh.
It's mostly a flea thing. I guess it's completely uncorrelated with flea circuses, and I do not think flea circuses were the moments in the 1300s.
You know what I think it was? I think it was, you know how, like, much like how we're in the changing times of now, like, there are certain jokes that people just think are tasteless. I think having a flea circus around after the plague happened was just tasteless.
Right. Like 3 years after you like see people, like, flea circus, and you're like, dude, screw off. Not cool.
Dude, my dad had, like, awful welts. Like, I
have an uncle.
Fascinating story.
I had an uncle who was plagued. Thank you very much. There's no way. I will shut this down.
Do you want to see the flea jump through the hoop? No. No, pack it up, bud.
Do you want to see my uncle back? Me too.
Tell the fleas I know what they did. The fleas are just trying to, like, move on. It's like not all fleas are the reason that the plague happened, all right? We can't speak for all fleas.
Do you hear that?
What?
It sounds like the middle stuff.
Oh, shoot. You done got
me. Welcome, guys. It's the middle stuff. I got you that time. I wasn't going to interrupt you. I figured 4 months is done enough for me to get some sort of mildly different idea. You can hear me scrolling through so I can find my middle stuff. I'm buying time.
It's amazing how we can do 50 plus episodes and a script is still needed.
And never just, like, figure out. I mean, we're not saying, hey, don't say the script. Don't say the script. Like, we got a big old script for every episode.
Join
we're
now.
We're not scripting this out.
This is a HeadGum podcast. Join now. Brought to you by Zillow.
All right, fantastic. Middle stuff. Thank you so much, guys, for making it this far in the podcast. The best part about this podcast is that it's made completely by you. Yes, we're the ones you're listening to, and if you've wrote in a question, if you've interacted with us in some way, you probably don't mind us too much, but if you want to have more of an interaction and you haven't sent in a question yet, do that. We got so many ways to do that and so many ways to interact with us. We're desperate for human connections. Mm-hmm. Zane, tell us how they can get a hold of us.
Well, you can get a hold of me anytime, any day, anywhere. I just need to be loved. So if you want to send in questions, the main way you can do that is by emailing your questions to us at saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, for the GPSs, that is saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. We do also
have... The amount
have...
of people who have asked me, like, what culture is Zane, like, making fun of?
That's just, that's each... the voice, that is the voice
no, I know.
Of the
and
GPS.
The answer is, no one.
I, it's... The answer is nobody.
No one. The beauty of it is that nobody.
The answer is like the that. Tonal quality of a GPS was very weird in 2007. Yeah, so you can get us the questions through email, Instagram, if you can reach us, like so many different ways. We also have anchor.fm is the way that you can mainly listen to our show, anchor.fm / Save Your Bacon. By also through that, I'm pretty sure you can send us voice messages. You can support us. You can find links to find that we are available literally everywhere. Apple, Google, Spotify, CastBox, probably Rhapsody. And, is Pandora still alive? Great. Is,
LimeWire,
Napster,
MySpace,
addictinggames.com, wherever you want to look.
Kick.
Wherever you want. we are legitimately available everywhere. We take any and all questions, whether it's real life advice or shitty comedy advice. We will make fun of you. That is our shtick. You're welcome. Take it or leave it. We're here and you can't get rid of us.
Take it away. Past Zane.
That was a call. That was a callback. That song. I forgot. You know, it's weird. I didn't have any time over the past months to sing a new song, and I'm not going to. Do you want a new question?
Are you planning on it?
No, not at all.
A new question. Give it to me.
Not at all. All right, stick with me here. Dear Zane and Will, I got a pager recently for work, because of how useful it is as a backup source keeping me accessible. It started vibrating on my hip the other day, and my daughter said, "What's that for, Mommy?" I told her it was for business and how it helps me get stuff done very quickly. I then got a call from her school the next day, and her teacher talked to me about how my daughter was taking too much time on her test. When she told my daughter she really needed to wrap it up, my daughter said, and I quote, "I need a vibrator like my mom so I can get done quicker." Oh. I tried talking to my daughter, but she insists on calling it a vibrator. What do I do? If I get her own pager, she'll continue to call it a vibrator, running around the school talking about how her mom bought her very own vibrator. And that that comes from Mom with a Lost Cause.
No. I'm nothing sane.
And this is a rough one.
The well is dry when it comes to this.
We can talk about rabbits for 15 minutes, but when you need our help, we're gone.
Oh my god.
It's a rough,
there's
rough
nothing.
Situation.
I would move.
Yeah, move.
I would move.
I don't know how that stops the kid from saying what she says, but move is a good one.
I think you move, and after you move, she's like, "But what about your vibrator?" And you'd be like, "That never existed.
That was
like, you threw away the pager days ago." You're like, "That was a fake." I think you gaslight her is what you
do.
Oh
my gosh. You have to convince her pagers don't exist. Could you imagine if she grows up like,
No. You can convince your pagers exist. You do have to convince your young daughter that vibrators don't exist, or at least the moment.
There's so many ramifications to this years and years down the line of just pure unadulterated confusion on
so
many levels.
So tell me why you decided to come in for therapy. It all started with my mom's vibrator.
Oh boy. It is rough because kids are very, very impressionable, and the one thing that you can't do is like very politely tell a kid to stop doing something, because that's their gateway into doing it more and more. Of like, if you say,
I mean, you gotta. I think maybe the problem is you don't give them a good enough name. You have to come up with a name that's better than vibrator, because pager isn't as good.
Yeah.
Something that's more exciting to say than vibrator.
Like hip shaker.
So maybe that is the only advice. The hip shaker. No.
It it is a rough one. The pager is a very specifically designed thing that goes on the hip. That is a very hard thing to do. Well, it shakes on your hip because it vibrates there, because it's a vibrator. I mean, a pager. It is a really... I understand why a vibrator is the name that would come to the mind for a kid, because it vibrates.
Oh, 100%.
So like, all right.
Yep.
Cool. Like, obviously, you just...
That is the only justification you need.
Object permanence and just learning by seeing. Cool. There are only two ways out of this. You invest in a new pager and you give it some absolutely rad name. That kid will move on. There is no kid that is going to longingly cling on to, "Aw, I miss your vibrator." They're gonna, as you adapt, kid will adapt. Or, I remember this too, like when flip phones first came out, I was like, "I have to have one of these." And then I saw a PDA, like the little thing that's essentially what would be now just a phone with a drawing tablet. Like what am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Just a drawing pen.
The Leapfrog?
Phone pen.
Wait, what?
Okay, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just looking for. It's essentially just like a phone screen that would have whatever. Frick it.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember being obsessed. I was like, "I have to have one of those." And then I remember the principal at my elementary school had what looked like a PDA, so just a little phone that she put on a little stand and had a tiny keyboard, and it was like she had this very, very small portable computer. And I was like, "Now that's what I have to have." I promise you, I moved on so quickly as soon as I saw something that now had my attention. You just have to find...
You just need the cool new thing.
Yes, you just need to find the cool new thing. The second you can distract her with some new thing, as long as it has an okay name, you are fine.
Right. So unless you want to call it the Buzzinator for the rest of your days...
That's kind of a cool name.
I think It's not terrible. I think you do get her own cell phone. I think this is a great time to invest into the iPhone 13 coming out tomorrow. I think this is a great time because I think that whatever that cost is, it's a little less than what the emotional cost of what's going on currently.
Yeah. We're really, really trying to sidestep around all of the heavy, deep, therapeutical ramifications of the many paths that this situation could go down right now.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Zane, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, just buy something fine. That's not a pager.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. That's all. That's really it. Just buy something that's not a pager, and Will and I will be able to sleep at night. And that's good.
Oh, vibrator? Oh, you mean my buzzinator?
Yeah. Oh, the buzzinator? Oh, you mean the thing that Buzz Lightyear gave me? That's how you get her. That's how you get her hooked. You said
to infinity and also to this pager.
To infinity, to infinity and work. I'm needed.
To infinity and to this meeting. Yes. Okay. Later. And also this meeting.
That might
dear
be the
Zane
day.
And Will, I just made $1 million. Are you both proud of me?
I think I know who this is.
I did it myself. Who's this? I don't know what he's talking about. I did it myself, and I could teach you how to do it too, but that's not how this show works.
Oh, okay.
What should be the first purchase I make with my impressive 7-figure bank statement? And that's from Anonymous.
I'll tell you if you give me some of it. So I think the first I think the first purchase they should make is buying our advice on what they should buy.
Should we start charging?
I think people are asking us to charge. I don't know how many times
begging us.
How many times I've walked into my local coffee shop and they have started saying, "Hey, I have such and such problem," and they're handing me 20s, 50s. Just Benjamins on Benjamins. And I just say, no, that's fine. And they're like, oh, so you're not going to answer my question? I was like, no. I'll answer your question. And they're like, so why aren't you taking like my $165? I'm like, because the point of what Will and I do is that we can just answer your question. They said, oh, that's a thing? I said, yeah, that's a thing.
Hey, are you the guys that give free advice? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, bummer. Where can I pay for advice?
Yeah, no.
Is there a place I can do that nearby?
We've lost so much clientele because we don't charge.
We've lost a gigantic amount of viewership in the 1% because of what we've done.
If you actually had 7 figures right now, is there, like, would you put it towards something rational? Towards something luxurious or towards something that you feel like you just know. It's like, I know that I would never, ever buy this unless I had this kind of money. And it's just like, it can even be just like an odd thing. Like if you were just like the most expensive, like massage chair.
Right. I'm not going to give you the real answer because that's no fun.
Right.
Instead, I'm going to say, what is the most fun thing I would buy first with my 7-figure bank statement? That would be...
I know what I would do. Oh boy. I would pay for everybody to fly out. I would get teams, 50 people on 50 people, and I would rent out... all of like Soldier Field and pay to set up a whole like freaking like blockade obstacle course and have a 50v50 laser tag match.
Real life Fortnite.
Hey, it's
I'm just kidding.
It's amazing.
You thought
right?
of that fast.
Like, well, I mean, the second that I realized
no,
I was
that
like,
would be phenomenal.
I could afford that. Cause like my brain was like, well, I could like rent out one of those places where like everything is a trampoline. It's like, that'd be fun. And then I was like, no, why not bigger? I have 7 figures. Yeah,
no,
let's go bigger.
That would be sick. Yeah, right. What would be the first cool thing I would buy?
You got a lot
first
of options.
Very cool thing. I know that's the issue.
Are you
right?
making a statement for yourself or are you making a statement on the world? Like, are you making it like this
is
this
is
just
brag.
Is this like
this is the brag.
So
right?
this isn't yeah, because you can't spend something with 7 figures and just be like, this is for me and only
I know
me.
What, it is.
What?
I'd buy a boat. I'm not a boat person. I don't want a boat. But if I had seven figures, you know I would find some blue-ass water, and I would get a cool sailboat. And I would get all my friends on there, and I'd wear cool sunglasses and a flowy white shirt, and some Sperry's or whatnot, and I just chill.
Biggest parts of this, the pros, right? Pro one, get to flaunt that you can even own a boat. Pro two, get to show off your cool new Sperry's. Pro three, at the end of the day, you can, without feeling guilt about how expensive the boat was, you can let the boat roam free as well, alongside the Titanic now.
Gosh, you're right.
And you don't have to care.
That's the biggest flex.
Yeah, like you don't. Yeah, honestly,
that's the biggest flex.
The biggest flex is buying a boat, inviting people, and then when they say, "So are we getting on the boat?" you say, "No," and you take your machete and you cut
let
the
go
rope
of
and,
the leash,
and the boat
and
takes off.
Away it goes. It runs off, and you say, "Get out of here, you ugly thing!"
And as the cops
don't come back,
as the cops pull up and they say, "That's not allowed," you say, "No, no, it's okay. He's
go on, get.
He's on his own now." And then you all watch him go towards the sunset as the cops...
This is his journey now.
The cops tear up at this point because they've never seen somebody so selfless with their money.
Goodbye, Shark Proof.
Shark Proof is a fantastic boat name, by the way. It is a fantastic boat name. Could you imagine getting on a boat saying, well, this is Shark Proof. Like, everybody, all of a sudden, everybody's fears in the world, gone.
Yeah, man. I didn't know I was a boat person until now. That's kind of fun, right?
Well, I didn't know that I would rent out Soldier Field for laser tag until the second I had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if I went something simple... Like, sure, I would probably buy a place to live. If I went something luxurious, I'm not a car person, so I don't know how far. Maybe I would like build my own either like indoor movie theater or music studio or something like that. Something that I would consider an over the top luxury. And then something random. This is fun. My girlfriend and I decided to, you know, when we found the gummy python, Will, we went back on that to look at that. We were like, see, this would be a nuts thing to buy, right? And we went into a rabbit hole not to bring up rabbits again either. I know that's a sore subject after anybody that's been kicked in the chest, face, or anything by rabbits. Rest in peace. I'm so sorry for your loss. We went down a rabbit hole of things that are just ridiculous. Led me to look up most expensive pen. And the most expensive pen I found was dang near $6,000. And and it's called the Dragon Pen. And it's just a dragon encrusted into a pen. It's just a dragon image encrusted into a pen, and it's an inkwell pen. So and it has no genuine
One question about that.
Yes.
I love the dragon pen, but one question I do have for you is, in what state are ministers forbidden from eating garlic or onions before delivering a sermon?
Ooh. Okay.
Is it either Oregon,
no,
South Dakota,
maybe,
or Utah?
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I genuinely did not... my brain went all Lower East Side. I did not expect you to say mainly West Coast, Upper West Coast areas. I was like, wow, okay.
You said, you want to preach the word, but you cannot do it stinky.
You cannot do it. You said garlic or onion not allowed?
Yes, eating garlic or onions before delivering a sermon. You are not allowed. Illegal.
Oy, oy, oy. And that was Oregon, South Dakota, and Utah. I mean, Utah is the city of salty lakes. I think that they are... they have an acquired taste for things already being a slightly off-putting, such as salt water. Why would it phase them? This is obviously me coming from years and years of studying why it's called Salt Lake City.
Huge amount of Mormon churches in Utah, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I fully, fully believe. if this is like around Portland, Oregon, I feel like everybody in Portland is way too chill to care that
right
about just
half
like
them already stink worse than that, right?
Right. Okay. No, it's like because everybody just came from a hike, so every
right
and nobody smelled. I think the breath at that point is the least stanky thing.
Right.
And then
South
Dakota has a leg up on me because I know nothing about it except for Badlands.
Right.
And so
small town, Badlands, lots of churches too.
Is Mount Rushmore South or North Dakota? Is it South?
It's North.
It is North. Okay. Now I gotta just check.
That's a guess. Don't at me.
Oh frick! I'm pretty sure it's South because I'm pretty sure
it's North.
Only thing in North Dakota is Fargo.
No, it's Black Hills. It is South.
Yep. Yep, okay.
It is South.
South Dakota has Mount Rushmore. Portland has hike. I think Utah has stanky mouth.
Final answer.
Yes, final answer.
That's incorrect. Guys, tune in next week for the answer of what state this actually is. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate our time to be able to come back and hang with you guys. It has been such a good time.
You can't.
Don't look up what state
you can't
is.
Blue ball our audience like that. We've never
you
done
want me
that.
To say it?
Yeah.
You want me to say it?
Yes.
You want me to say it?
Yes.
I'm not going to say it. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
This is Save Your Bacon, guys, an advice comedy podcast.
He starts doing the intro,
easy, guys. I don't know what I'm doing. It's been a minute. Take it easy, guys. And if it's easy, the state is Oregon.
Fuck you. Take it twice, bitch.